Jesus didn't have a problem with people that was in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Once again, we're excited that you've joined us here on Faith in Your Recovery. This is episode about number 205. I don't know how many you've been with us for, but go back into the archives, catch up. Some great episodes. I'm sure today's going to be the same. In a moment or two, I'll introduce our guest, Dalton Davis. Nah, he's no relation. I'd be okay if he was, but I don't think we fell from the same tree, okay? We're going to find out about that here in a few, but as we do, make sure you like, you subscribe. We've got our QR code on there. If you have a heart's desire to donate and help support what we're doing, that'd be more appreciated than you'll ever know, all right? But let's get to the meat of all this. Welcome, Dalton.
Hey, how you doing, Randy?
We are great. Tell the folks where you're coming from today.
So right now I'm in Tennessee. My name's Dalton Davis. I go by Blessed on all music platforms. Right now we're on tour. So we just had an event last night. It was broadcasted to over 700 prisons. And last night we had 35 baptisms, praise God.
Wow.
And
where was this event?
Rio Revolution in Maryville, Tennessee.
What is Rio Revolution?
So it's a Celebrate Recovery out of, it's a Celebrate Recovery / church. They have a Christian school there. So a lot of our events are around recovery. We focus on recovery. A lot of our music focuses on recovery. I was an addict for 21 years. So, but God delivered me from my mess and turned it into my message. And it's a beautiful thing, man, what he can do with somebody, how he can make beauty out of the ashes. Amen.
Amen. We're going to hear about that story here in a little while. I'm real interested. You said it was broadcast to like 700 prisons.
Yeah. So they have something called the Pando app, and they usually do their CR on there, their services broadcast to the Pando app that go to prisons. And so I'm on tour. So let me explain this real quick. I'm on a tour. It's called the Blood Brothers Tour. And the tour is with me, B. Cody Shields, J. Truth, and Redeemed, which is like the headliner of the tour. And so all four of us, we just got back from Panama City Beach. Before that, we were in Daytona, Florida. Before that, Oxford, Alabama. Before that, we were in Augusta, Georgia. So I mean, we've just been traveling.
Oh, that is cool. Nikki Gracious was a part of that tour until he had some personal things come up, right?
Yes, he was.
I saw Nikki had a thing on Facebook explaining. He didn't give all details, neither should he have to, but he made it clear how much he appreciated the guys who have stepped up to help out. How much longer does the tour last?
So we have one more event. It's in Maryville, Alcoa Church of God on Friday. Then we have an event in Mississippi on Saturday. I couldn't tell you the name of it right now. I'm spacing. But I know Saturday we end the tour in Pontotoc, Mississippi. So we have Friday, Tennessee.
Jay Truth from, right?
Yeah, I'm actually driving with Jay Truth right now. He just walked into the store. He's actually in the front seat. I'm in the back seat.
Better hurry, because when he gets in there, I know it's not going to be quiet. That guy.
Oh, definitely not.
Get a Jesus.
And who knows? Amen.
Yeah?
Amen. Let me get a Jesus.
Love that guy. I wish I had some of that youthful fire that he has. And
amen.
I appreciate him a bunch. And since getting to know you, we met at the Get Sober, Stay Sober event in Decatur, Indiana, here just, I don't know, a month ago, give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here you are already, our podcast. Thank you for your touch. We appreciate that.
No, it's a true blessing.
I want to know what it's like. Is this the first tour you've been on? Have you done others? Or
so yeah. This is the first tour that I've been on. How can I put it? The best way I can put it to you like this, it's a true blessing to be able to be on this tour and to do ministry and travel state to state and just connect with people, build relationships, to be able to plant seeds so God can water them and to truly pour out into other people and then be able to relate to you. Because I tell you what, I know when you were a kid and I was a kid, you know, when someone tries to tell you what to do, we didn't want to listen. Didn't matter how right they were. You know what I mean? So us as being 21 years, being 20 years in addiction, I did 12 years in prison. Matter of fact, here he is right here, boy.
Hey, Jay. Welcome.
Brent, I love you.
That's Jay Cruz.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm doing great. You?
God bless you, man. Yes, sir, man. I love y'all.
Hey, we're hearing about the tour, hearing about all that's going on. Love you as well. So, Dalton, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about that 21 years in addiction. How did it start for you?
So at a really young age, my parents got divorced. When I was 10, my parents got divorced. My dad had went into a downward spiral because my mom left. My parents were both addicts. And I actually started working on shrimp boats at 10. I dropped out of school, started working on shrimp boats, and fell into drugs. You know, started moderately with the weed and then graduated to the higher drugs like pills, cocaine, crack cocaine, stuff like that. And so at a really young age, I started in my addiction, and then it just spiraled out of control fast. It started off something socially, like we're doing something socially, then it took control of me. And then once it took control of me, you know, it went from I just want to do it to I have to have it. And I battled with that for a very long time until it ended up putting me in prison, you know, stealing stuff to obtain drugs or stuff like that. And even in prison, there's more drugs in prison than there is out here.
Man,
you know,
here all the time.
Yeah, it's bad. And they focus on spice in prison. So they spray it on paper. So like you're smoking paper inside a paper, and it's a chemical that they spray on it. And it takes control of you. It truly does.
I hear so many times, and as you mentioned, for you, one of the main gateway drugs was marijuana, but I'm convinced there's a gateway to the gateway drug, and that's usually trauma. And I'm not blaming your situation, your addiction on your parents, but the abandonment that one feels during all of that creates a lot of pain, a lot of confusion. Struggles you see between your parents, all that goes with that. So I am convinced there is usually a trauma at the root of most addictions, and we make a choice one time, and about the second or third time, it's no longer a choice, it's a must, kind of like you said. You were using, you know, for a while, then it took control of you, and you had no choice. Yeah. Does that well describe your story?
I would say this too. So I agree with you 100%. I would also say this. I'm a firm believer that cigarettes can also be a gateway. Absolutely. So you'll have such a young, like our younger generation growing up, 10, 11 years old, and go smoke a cigarette, and they'll get that little head high, that little rush off of it. And then they'll like it, and then they'll want to go try something else. But I agree with you 100%. My, you know, my dad always tried to stay there and be for me. And, but he was hurt himself, you know? And so I think just from the trauma, me seeing my dad going through so much and being hurt the way he was to what it is now, like as it transpired, I seen how he would mask with the pain. So I just adapted to that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, do you see, we've got a comment on there. It looks like the name's Mark. I can't quite make out that last name.
Clarice?
Yeah, that looks like it may be. Wants to know how you're doing, and he evidently had a chance to meet you at the Daytona show and said amazing. So that's a good stamp of approval there. Like it when folks communicate with you and, you know, state how much they appreciate what you're doing for them. So thanks for that work. Now, you said along with that 21 years of addiction, you flipped those numbers. You had like 12 years of prison time, yeah?
Yeah, so I went to prison when I was like roughly turned 19. Did a couple years in prison, about 3 years in prison. I got out for 5 months. I went to prison and fell back into addiction really heavy, and then had a prison mentality. So when I got out, I was only out 5 months and went right back in for 4 years because of drugs. I was all methed out, and I thought someone was trying to kill me, took her purse, threw it on top of a store, and called 911 on myself and went back to prison. And went back for 4 years, got out for 4 months that time, and went back for 3 more years, got out for 5 days, went back for 2 more years, and then finally moved to Tennessee, and still had the mentality of doing wrong in my life. And I got my sister up here. I was what I used to call sober, which was just smoking weed. Like, I used to think that was sober as a person. I thought that was okay before I gave my life to God. So
during all of that, it sounds like you must have spent most of your 20s behind bars. Is that?
I was free for about 13 months for all of my 20s.
Not a lot. So you said you moved to Tennessee. Life evidently started to change there for the better.
You can change the places that you go, but if you don't change the people and the things that you do, then you're gonna go back down the same holes. And that's what happened for me. And I got up here. I got back on meth, started doing some crazy things. I actually went to jail, was in jail. My bond was very high. I have 40 felonies in the state of Florida, so they were going to send me to prison. 40? And 40. Yeah, it's bad. And my bond was really high. And finally, for the first time in my life, I called out to God. See, I've always identified as a Christian, but never truly believed. If that makes sense. I never had a relationship with God.
You knew and, God, but you had not connected with him, it sounds like.
Yeah, I still had the doubt too. You know, I questioned it. You know, I was knowledge. I was a guy that could tell you scripture, but still had doubt in his head all the time about it. And so the long story short of it would be, I was in jail. I just got there. I cried out to God, like, Lord, like, I've tried this so long by myself. I'm at the bottom. Like, Lord, if you take this from me, like, I know you can, I'm giving this to you. Please deliver me from this. Like, Lord, just give me a renewing of the mind to where I can only boast in your name. Like, please, Lord, like, take this and truly laid it down at the cross so he could deliver me. And the next day I woke up. So it was late at night. I said the prayers. I read my word a little bit. And, the next day when I woke up, I had such a renewing of the mind. I was so changed that it was like, it was a scary feeling. Like my the addiction was taken from me. The thought of using was taken from me. I couldn't stop reading my word. And it was just a miraculous feeling. So he did it to the point where I could only boast in his name. And that started me down the path that I'm on now. My bond at the time was $75,000, and someone from my church. So I was going to sign 7 years probation, felony probation, 100%. Someone went in front of the judge. He denied my plea, and so 3 days later, someone from my church went to my house, the church I had been going to, and they went to my wife. Said the Lord put it on my heart to pay Dalton's bond. God told me that he's a changed man. To get him out of jail, and that he had amazing things in store for Dalton.
Would you have in any way expected it from this particular individual? You don't have to give.
No, no, of course not. Like, so I had reached out to this person a month prior, And they were like, hey, like, I can't help you. Like, what you did, you know, you need to sit in there. I had put my hands on some people. And they're like, man, I can't help you. And for them to go there and say that, it's just, it blew my mind. And at that point, I knew that, like, God had something in store for my life that I could never imagine, dream, or even hope for.
And I'm going to guess what you're doing now was not a part of any dream or hope.
No. Not even.
So how did it come to you, Dalton, that this is the direction God wanted you to go, that His Holy Spirit wanted to lead you to and through? How did it come to you? What was that marker in your life that said, Dalton, get ready, you're going to be doing some singing and sharing? How'd that come about?
So as a person, I used to do secular music, nothing professional, but I used to write secular music. I wrote a lot of poetry. Christian hip hop was a big turning point for me because, okay, when I first came to God and truly started building a relationship with Him. So when I say I came to God, I started to know who He was, talking to Him every day. I used to set my phone, the alarm clock on my phone for every hour on the hour. I would call it checking my love walk. So when my alarm went off, I would stop and pray, you know, to stay in connection with the Father, to build a relationship with Him so I could step out in faith. And so that led into me listening to Christian hip hop because I couldn't listen to the old music because it bothered me what they were worshiping, idolizing, what they were saying, the language they were using. So at that point, I started listening to Christian hip hop and I'm like, man, this is amazing.
And
then I went to Faith Jam in Sparta, Tennessee. Man, Josh Burgess, an amazing brother in Christ, man. They got an amazing church out there called Christ Point Church. Went out to his event. He does out there. It's called Faith Jam. And I got to meet Jay Truth. So fast forward a little bit, about a month later, there was another event. I think it was called Rally for Recovery that was like 20 minutes away from that. And I went out there to see ASAP preach. So, you know, at that point, I was just a fan. I was just hanging out. And I had been playing a little bit with music, singing. I had started making a song. It's the first song I ever released. It's called I Need You, Lord. It was just me crying out to God, like writing from a state of where what happened to me in my cell, my testimony, like where I was at in that cell.
Was
so I just like wrote.
Should rap song?
Yeah, it's called I Need You, Lord. So if you type in my name in capital letters, blessed, and then look up I Need You, Lord, right after that, it'll pop right up on any streaming platform for music.
Awesome. Hearing that. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I met Jay Truth, and Jay Truth actually heard me. Like, he's like, I was like, man, you know, I've been playing with stuff. He's like, hey, what do you got, man? And I was like, hey, check this song out. I've been writing this. So I showed it to him. He's like, man, take my number down, bro. You call me. Like, I would love to link up with you. So months went by. And at the time, I was a little shy to reach out to people and started trying to do my own thing, trying to find a studio, a beat maker. So a couple months went by of me diligently seeking that. Finally, I stopped and said, Lord, if this is your will, like, you'll reveal to me this is your will. But until then, I'm going to keep doing like what I know to do, which is work and be the man that you want me to be. And I was volunteering at my church at the time, 3 days a week. So one day I get to work. This is how I knew that this was God's purpose for me. I'd reached out for months to people and didn't get no reply. One morning I'm at work, and within like an hour and a half period, about 50 people, no exaggeration. My messenger was blowed up. My Facebook was going crazy of people reaching out to me, trying to help me get into a studio, trying to help me do beats. And then at the end of that, Jay Truth decided to call me that day. He's like, man, you haven't called me. What's going on? I was like, you know, just been praying on stuff, trying to figure out if I should be doing this music. He's like, man, God put it on my heart to tell you, man, that you have something amazing coming for you in life through this music. Like, God put a spirit of music on you. I can see His spirit on you, and I know He's got a plan for you in this industry. I want to get you set up. Gave me a studio to go to, gave me a beat maker. And he's like, man, like, you call me for anything, man. Don't be shy to call me. Because I had not reached out to him. And so he got me into the studio. And then from then, like, Randy, if I was to be honest with you, brother, this last year of my life has been nothing short of a miracle. I just started really doing music, and I've probably been to 25 events and performed. You know, like, this is the brothers I have in my life, like Redeemed, J Truth, V Cody.
You're hooked up with some good ones, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and like, you know, even Joe Nestor, man. So yeah. Another thing, man.
Here for two different episodes.
Did you really?
Getting
private. Now I feel really honored.
Well, we were for certain. I'm going to guess it probably 9 months to a year before his passing. We had him on here for two episodes. He gave us his story, how, you know, the Spirit of God moved him to the music he was in. He shared his Kensington period of life and the struggles he had. And as I remember, he had love for baseball early on. And to get in on that was just so personal. And he was sincere with it. I appreciated that. And just, I've got to admit, I have a little jealousy toward you guys in the of when I hear you talk about the camaraderie. I was in pulpit ministry for 35 years. I still fill in. I'm out of the circle, so to speak. The idea that the closeness wasn't there as it is with you guys. I respect you know, the way you call upon each other, step in, step up, help out. It's not a matter of I don't want to share it. It's a matter of I want everybody in the world to hear it. And you guys are getting it.
Amen.
I was telling them in the office today, I'm blown away when I open up Facebook and it's
Christian.
Concert after concert. It blows this whole guy away, okay? And it makes me feel a whole lot younger just connecting with you guys. So thank
you. Amen. I will say this. The brothers that he's put into my life and the unity we have within the body, I think, you know, besides your relationship with God, which is number one to me, having brothers that'll hold you accountable, that will you know, call you out on your BS, you know, and just be honest with you about your life and not just give you what you want to hear or sugarcoat what you have going on in your life. You know, if you don't have someone that's willing to show you correction and truly pour into you with love, you know, and not from a standpoint of that they're better than you or something like that. You know, that was a real turning point in my life for me. Like brothers like J Truth, this man in front of me, you know, we talk on a daily basis. Even when we're not together like this, we talk on a daily basis, sometimes 2-3 times a day. You know, and not sometimes we're not even calling each other. We're just, hey, are you all right? Hey, everything good? Just checking in with each other, making sure that we're still walking in his presence, you know?
Awesome. That amazes me about your genre, your industry, whatever you guys call it in general, but the Christian hip hop movement.
What are you doing?
Moves more than the bones; it moves the spirit, the heart, and the soul, and that just. I'm one of those unique people who was born without any.
You want something to eat?
I just didn't.
Hey, man, we'll get you right, man. We'll get you preaching on the front of one of our songs, man. We got you, brother.
You'll have to take care of everything behind it, okay? But,
Hey, Randy, I want you to note something, brother, so check this out. This music is amazing, okay? I've watched God move when the bass hits, okay? But guess what? This music is just a tool for me to get up on there and grab that mic and tell somebody about Jesus.
Absolutely.
To tell somebody about my testimony, because Revelation says we're overcome the evil one by the word of our blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So it's our job to go out here and as disciples, as people that the Lord has called to truly reach the lost and the broken, not the people that are that are in the building that's called the church, because we are the church. So we should be bringing it to the street. Yeah. So, I mean, if you guys, not you guys, I should say, if more people would focus on the people who are lost in the street, that don't know who Jesus is, instead of focus on the people who know Jesus, I think we would see Christianity take a skyrocket, and the people that believe, and the more people who are having salvations, we would have less homeless people. We would have less people in addiction, because how can you expect God to water a seed that hasn't been planted?
Amen. Amen. So, I think Mark Cuban on the television program Shark Tank. Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all, but he always talks about businesses having that hockey stick rise, just like you're describing there, that, you know, just that straight line almost up, and all that adds. What do you see, and I know God's in charge, God's got a damn, what do you see as your immediate next step in Dalton? Do you have a long-term vision?
I mean, if I had to say my long-term vision, I mean, you know, what I want and what God has in store for me are two different things. I just want to say that. Yeah. And I am, first and foremost, I'm obedient and I'm a servant. So, you know, whatever his plan for me is, I'm just excited to be able to serve him. And it brings peace to my heart to be able to be obedient. Awesome. But for, as far as a long-term goal for me, to have a church that reaches the people I was just talking about. Struggling addicts that can come in off the street, our lost brothers that sleep out here in tents, and brothers and sisters that are out here in tents that don't have nowhere to go at night, that are just walking the streets, be able to come in and not be looked at like they're different, because they're not. They're people. And one centered around you know, the kind of music they can relate to, you know. Somewhere where it's a true family, helping recovering addicts, fresh Christians, people that are still struggling, people that can come in and feel warm and welcomed right away and not at arm's length. I know for a long time God's called me to be a preacher, and it's amazing to be able to do street ministry going from state to state. You know, maybe one day, if it's in his plans, I would have my own church and we would do that. And, you know, that
we don't have to, you know, question your faith on that. We believe in that. And we believe that that's God's call. You'll fulfill it. You'll have skills. You're getting the training here by your moving from so many places, being on tour such as you are. In your bio you sent us, you talked about obedience moving you away from chaos. I'd like that statement. Talk to us about that a little. Maybe there's somebody out there struggling with their own chaos. How does obedience pull you out of that and bring the rescue?
So being obedient to Father is having faith. Being obedient to him and what he asks you to do is be able to step out in faith. You know, you can't be obedient without having faith. So, and when someone has faith, you know, I just preached on this about three events back, and I called it having a mental state of stepping out in faith. Okay. So it's not just an action. It's a mental state of always stepping out in faith, knowing that he has your best interest at heart, knowing that you can, that you can find your rest in him, your strength in him, that peace that surpasses all understanding. And so when something comes into your life or you're dealing with something, you know, regardless of the situation, how bad it is, if you truly believe in God, that all good things happen to those who are called according to his purpose, and that he is your strength, he is your rock, he is your salvation, then if you keep that mental state, it doesn't matter what happens in your life, you'll have that peace because you're surrounded by his love. You know that he has the best in store for you, and that if you are going through the trials and tribulations, nine times out of 10, he's just making sure you're going to lean on him before he delivers you and blesses you for your obedience.
You know, the scriptures talk about how if you will use the little you have, he'll increase it and give you more. But it's just that testing process, not a matter of greed, but are we ready to handle more? You know, the question I'm sure God answered a long time ago was, is Dalton ready to go out on tour? And, you know, you had to be able to answer that from the inside. And once your faith said yes, he asked you the question and gave you the challenge, privilege, or opportunity, however you want to look at it. And I think that's how growth comes, that it all starts with our faith.
That's it. So I will say this, this wasn't my choice to be on this tour. I agreed to it. This was the brothers came together. You know, some stuff happened with Nikki. I'm not going to discuss any of that, but some stuff happened. But some stuff happened with Nikki, and they came together and they prayed about it. And you know, Redeemed and J Truth, they know 20 artists they could have called, and a lot of them probably a lot more popular than me. You know, but God put it on their heart to call out to me. So it took them also being obedient for me to be here.
Amen.
Because so it's just, it works all the way around. You know, this, it was God's timing, not mine. And sometimes we have to be humble, you know, to accept that.
Here's my selfishness in all of this. I'd like being able to have you on here. You're fresh on the trail. And you're not necessarily fresh in your Christian journey, but you are fresh in your journey this direction as a Christian and for Christ. You're new in the game. If we can help spread that and let people know how God works, how to take somebody, you know, that seasoned mentor like Redeemed or somebody like a J Truth to give you that opportunity of exposure, that Christ obviously led them to it, and he'll lead you through it. To me,
that's amen.
You know, now we get to follow this growth. We get to watch you grow. We get to watch you mature into all that Christ has created you to be. So there are some selfish motives here in that respect. Part of it lived through you guys vicariously. You know, it's not something this old guy's going to be doing anytime soon, but getting to be a part of it by helping to promote Christ, number one, and you guys, number two, and your sharing of him, number three. Thank you.
Of course.
Cool. What
he calls us to be the hands and the feet, does he not?
Oh, I have always said you can pray for the farm and he may give it to you, but he'll never drive your tractor.
Hey,
work. And so, yeah, that's important to me. And I don't mind that because I know it's going to be prosperous work. The dirty hands don't matter. The smelling like you've cleaned out the barn don't matter. You help that person. You lift them up. You lift yourself up at the same time. And my goal is...
I do want to share this with you. So, full-time ministry, and you'll know what I'm saying right here. So we've been on tour. We've been traveling. So our last road trip was probably a total of 10 hours straight. Events, we're setting up at 10 o'clock in the morning, not leaving the event until 10 o'clock at night. After that, setting up equipment, pouring out altar calls, baptisms, performances, tearing down equipment, loading it up. Then you got to get something to eat. The days are long. They're hard. You don't get a lot of sleep or rest. And
we're like, it looks like from out here.
No, definitely not. There's a lot behind the scenes that people don't see. And a lot of emotional moments, a lot of just very weary, tired moments. And that being said, I want to say this. balancing your alone time with God, allowing him to fill your cup back up so he may, so you may continue to continuously pour it out time and time again, is the most important thing and also the most challenging, because when can you find the time? Yeah. And, you know, as people, our day-to-day lives have become that, has become, I have to work my 8-hour shift. I have to pick my kids up from soccer practice. There's always something you have to do. And then when you do get a free second, you want, and I'm speaking for myself included, I've had to correct myself, after running a full day's course. You know, if you didn't find your time in the morning and the nighttime comes, you're so exhausted from the day that you want to sit down and turn on the TV. You know, you want to relax. You don't want to dive into the word, quiet your mind and connect with the Father so he may pour into you. And so he may give you more words of wisdom. He may bring something else to lighten your faith. So for anybody who is watching this, the relationship you have with Christ, what you're doing daily. You know, our phones give us reports every week, right? And it says, hell, you used your phone an hour less this week. You've used your phone this many hours this week. And so if you're spending 80 hours a week on your phone or 60 hours a week on your phone, but you can't even spend a total of 2 hours a week with the Father. You know, we can turn idols into anything, and we can't do nothing without the Father. We can't step out in our faith. We can't have peace in our life, strength in our lives. Can we wing it and get by sometimes? Sure, everybody gets lucky. But if you want to continuously grow and not slip and fall, then you have to show the Father, the one who gave his only begotten son for us, the time that is due to him so he may pour into you so you can be the man or woman that he wants you to be.
You know what? Yeah, I believe there are moments of luck, but I'd rather have the faith of his word in my heart and know that I know that I know which way it's
going. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, he's going to guide me there, not just the luck of that fortune cookie at the Chinese.
Okay. Amen.
But yeah, what is it as we get ready to wrap up here, blessed, that you want to bless others with? Give them a word of wisdom, a challenge. You just got done doing that, basically talking about our time with the Father. But go to another step there.
Okay. You know, from personal experience, if you guys are struggling with your faith or stepping out in faith, you know, you came to Christ, you give him your life, and now the first steps are starting. The enemy's coming to attack you. You may have been delivered from drugs, but now you have the anxiety, the depression, and life is becoming overwhelming. Or you know, you never had the drug issue. You believe in God, and everything around you is coming, is attacking you, and you don't know how to deal with it and the frustration. Prayer. Focus on your prayer with the Father. As I'm talking to you guys right now, whoever's watching this, man, I love you guys. And the way I'm talking to you right now, man, I used to talk to God like that every day. I still do. And people would look at me, who are you talking to, man? I'm talking to Jesus. And they'd be, oh, he's that guy. And I was that guy. You know why? Because I love Jesus, and I'm going to tell the world about him. And but the more I did that, setting my alarm clock on my phone for every hour on the hour, just stopping and praying for 30 seconds, thanking the Father for what I'm going through, because we shouldn't only, you know, call out to him in our valleys, but we should praise him in our mountaintops. The more I did that, the more my relationship grew. The more relationship grew, I could step out in faith. So if you're focusing on your relationship with your Father, you're building that with him. You're checking your love walk. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And you're stepping out in faith. Your problems will start to go away. Like, there's no getting around that. All right. The Father has amazing things in store for you, but you have to believe that. If you don't believe that, it's never going to change. So yeah, you can say you laid some down at the cross all you want, but when I lay something down at the cross, that is no longer my issue. And for those of you who are struggling with addiction or anything else in your life, if you lay something at the cross, all right, and then you have the temptation and you go pick it back up, then you didn't lay it down at the cross. You didn't leave it there. All right. You're going to be tempted. All right. But when you have those thoughts of temptation of picking something back up in your life that you've already given to God, all right, tell God, Listen, this isn't that this your conversation with the Father does not have to be formal. Father God, you took this from me. You delivered me from this. I do not no longer have to deal with this. These thoughts are not of me. You took this from me. This is not of me. And you keep walking. You stand bold in your faith because that is the deciding facts of your life. That is what's going to make a change in your life. And listen, if you guys haven't given your life to God and you guys want to know what the next step is, listen, I'm Dalton Davis on Facebook. You guys can reach out to me. I always answer my messenger. Pastor Randy here. I know you can get a hold of him, and we would love to help you with that next step. But listen, man, the relationship with the Father, most important. All right. Anything you do in life, it all starts your relationship with him. Because when you have a relationship with somebody, you can serve. You can be obedient. You can trust, which is the most important thing. And if you want to know a reference to that, man or woman, you're not going to be in a relationship with somebody and trust them until you what? Have a relationship with them, until you know them, right? Well, how can you know the Father if you're not reading a word, if you're not spending alone time with him, if you're not calling out to him? So that's the best reference I can give for that. The more you get to know the Father and try to sit in quiet time and truly, truly hear his voice, tune everything out in your life and listen to God. And the one last thing I'll challenge everyone, man, if you haven't told somebody about Jesus today, man, you need to let me get a Jesus and tell the whole world who saved your life, who's the most amazing Father, who you serve. Go spread the gospel. Go spread that good news. Let his light shine through you so others may know. When you walk up, they shouldn't see you. They should see Jesus.
Amen.
With everything you do, they should see Jesus.
Dalton, thanks, buddy. Appreciate the insights you've given us, all the good words, and I know you're a busy individual right now and taking time out for us that we can share this with so many others.
This is what it's about, brother.
Getting that glimpse of J Truth, even hearing the kids, you know, it's life. I mean, you're just living it before us, and it's real and raw, and we like that. So be blessed. Continue to know you're in prayer for this tour and the next step in your life. I know we're going to be in contact. I'm
more excited
about that now than ever before. So it's a good thing. As always, folks, we'd like to remind you to stay in the battle. Your next prayer, the next coin you turn may hold the answer. I don't ever want to find out that I was just one step away from the answer I most needed. I'm going to take that step and more, and I'll keep searching till it comes because I know it will. My faith, my Christ says so. Amen. God bless. We love you, folks.
Amen. Love you guys.
Amen.